What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Hey everyone, welcome to our bonus edition of Strange Indeed, dedicated to the Great British Baking Show. I'm Rima.
And I'm Wendy.
In this episode, we're covering Great British Baking Show Collection 12, Episode 5, Pastry Week.
Pastry Week seems like a hard one.
It was a pretty hard one this week, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot of problems with soggy bottoms.
Yeah, not very smooth this week, unfortunately. But delicious at all the same time, because I love pastry. But before we kick off Pastry Week, let's do a quick recap of where we left from last week and who had to leave and who won Star Baker. So Georgie last week, and last week was Caramel Week. If anyone isn't sure, another yummy week, because we love caramel here on the podcast, all of us. Georgie won Star Baker. She did fabulous. She had amazing chocolate bar caramel biscuits and a glass rosemary mousse cake, just absolutely stunning, and really knocked the socks off the judges. And then Mike had to leave us last week. He just did not have a good week. His caramel biscuits and coffee popcorn mousse cake for the showstopper just did not turn out, was not his week, and so Mike had to leave us, and so sad. He was definitely missed this week. I mean, it's a great week. We got great bakers and contestants and such on the show, but his laugh, his really big laugh was really missed. I know I missed him. So that is how we left Caramel Week. And like I said, going into this week with Pastry Week, we're halfway through.
Yep. I can't believe it.
I know. When they said that, I think it was Noel that said it on the show. I was like, holy cow, we are like halfway through. Hard to believe. So let's talk about the bakes this week for Pastry Week. Again, I love a good pastry. You give me anything sweet and I'm all about it. So the signature was a frangipane tart, and I didn't keep count, but if you were playing a drinking game for how many times it said frangipane, I'd feel bad for you by the end
of
the episode.
You wouldn't have made it to the end.
No, you'd probably be halfway through the technical. But anyway, they had to make a frangipane tart, and it could be something similar like a Bakewell tart, but they could also experiment with their flavors and, you know, kind of play around a little bit with that. And I know we have had frangipane on the show before, but I was like, I don't know that I remember what it is. So I looked it up for anyone who wasn't sure, because I needed a refresher. Frangipane is a simple combination of butter, sugar, almond meal, egg, vanilla, and a small amount of flour. That doesn't sound so bad. Wendy, have you had frangipane, and do you like it? If so,
if I've had it, I didn't know it was frangipane, but it looks great. It looked pretty similar to other pastry. I would suspect the specific flavoring surrounding it is what makes it frangipane, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same. If I've had it, I maybe just didn't know what it was. If
If it's sweet, then I probably loved it. Mm-hmm. But I'm really curious now. I feel like I want to attempt it. But tricky part with making things in my house, I don't have a lot of people to bake for. It's myself and my daughter. And, you know, she's really trying to be mindful of the sweets. She doesn't really have a sweet tooth. I have the sweet tooth in the house. Mm-hmm. She's really trying to be mindful of the things that she eats. So I'm like, I cannot imagine if I make all of these little tarts, who the heck is going to eat all of these? If they're sitting there, I'm going to end up eating them, and that's not a good thing. But I really, really want to make this. So I don't know, maybe I'll be inspired. Did you have a favorite signature? Was there any that stood out to you, or any as far as the aesthetics or just in the flavors that really appealed to you?
I thought Jill's was the most beautiful. It was pistachio and blueberry, and I just thought it was the one that looked more professionally done. It was very elegant, delicate, and I thought it looked really neat and gorgeous. I'm not a big blueberry fan, but I can eat some blueberry things. I love pistachio. I thought those looked really beautiful. How about you?
I agree. Like I say every week, I would try a bite of everything, even if it was something that, mm-hmm. I'm kind of iffy about, because hey, it's a tart, and how bad could it be? But Jill's was up there in the tops for me as far as the flavors. I do love blueberries. I was definitely interested as far as hers, and yeah, I agree, they looked really beautiful, which you can really see. Not that Jill has had anything like ugly or anything like that, but I feel like she's gotten a lot more refined. Like she's
evolved. I think she was kind of middle of the road for the first few episodes, and she's really stretching out now.
Yes, agree. Because I really do think they looked very delicate and amazing. And I think mm-hmm. what she's made before has looked really good, but I feel like this has been something that is just really delicate and not something you may have seen her, if you saw her in episode one, seen her making before. So she's, you know, I think really said, you know what, I can do this. And she did. The judges said that they looked good. They called him Dinky, which I was like, is that supposed to be a good thing? Because they said that about her little tart tins that she was using to make the tarts. They're like, oh, they're like little dinky.
But and see, I guess it's just a tart small. That's the size I think of, so I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, well, that, yeah, that's what I think of as a little tart. Yeah. It's just a small, but maybe that's mm-hmm. just what it means is small. So they said that they looked good, and that she did a great job and did amazing. So thumbs up across the board for Jill. But I was also a fan, or at least I think, of the flavors, especially because she had like a almond Bakewell frangipane tart. She uses raspberries a lot, so she had raspberry in her tarts, and mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of raspberry too. And I thought they were really beautiful. So as far as like the flavor, I think these probably would have come up number one, and Jill's number two for me. But I'd probably have to taste them to be sure. And the judges really liked them too. Paul mentioned
who was that you're talking about? Georgie?
Georgie's.
Is that Georgie? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think this is going to sound like a criticism, but I don't mean it as one. Georgie seemed like she was playing it safe a little bit, like raspberry and almond. Like she's been very adventurous and sometimes to her detriment. So I mm-hmm. think this was probably a smart move because she did really well. And, you know, raspberry and almond, like that's a classic flavor combination. And I think she's being real smart.
I think so too. Sometimes going with classic flavors like that, I mean, it can be good mm-hmm. and it can be bad. It sometimes can fail you because I think I've heard from the judges before, for any challenge, if you decide to go with a classic, you know, something that isn't so out of the box, that's something that is a classic, then you better do it really, really well. So I think that's right. a risk with playing it too safe, is if it, or making something that's more of a classic, you know, a bake, then it better be really, really good, because it's common, right? Or it's, you know, it's not
right.
something unique or something that they haven't, because they always want to be wowed. They want to see something a little different, good, but different. But yeah, she knocked it out of the park. It looked delicious. But yeah, I'd probably eat any of them. Any others that stood out? Or
Nelly used blood oranges, and I love that. Blood orange and almond. They liked the flavors, but they were a little critical of the bake, the dough.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan used coffee and chocolate, which sounded really good. I think he had a lot of problems as well. And they mm-hmm. liked the coffee and chocolate flavors, but they felt like it was a little overpowering.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that you couldn't taste the frangipane.
Yep.
And I think that was a requirement, was that you did have to taste that part. So
yeah,
that mm-hmm. might have been one little mark against him. Otherwise, yep, I think it turned out pretty well for him. They looked yummy.
And I know that so Christian, his was real different. It was almost savory. It yeah. was cashew and black sesame with apricot jam. And they liked the flavors, but they didn't like the look of it. And it wasn't pretty. But mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, that all sounded really good. And, like, I love, like, the sweet and salty together, you know. So I was thinking I would like that. Would have liked to given it a try.
I would have tried it for sure. Definitely mm-hmm. would have taken a bite. But, yeah, I think the look of them at yeah. first would have turned me off just a little bit. I think Prue, she was kind of making a little bit of a face, and she
yeah.
she said look like fried mushrooms or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like almost like a savory thing. It didn't look like a sweet treat.
Right, right. And I get what he was going for, and I definitely do admire his willingness to go outside the box a little bit. But, you know, you got to be yeah. careful, because it's got to work, you know. And Paul said that the sesame, as he says, isn't bringing anything to the party, and the mm-hmm. flavor was okay. So it wasn't anything to get him or like to put him in risky territory, but mm-hmm. it didn't serve him well to try to kind of go outside the box a little bit. But he likes doing those interesting flavors.
Yeah.
And poor Andy, his yeah. overbaked pastry. Ugh, if I had a nickel for every time I get caught up in the kitchen and my darn, you know, whatever I've got in the oven, it's like, oh no, you
yep.
know, something yep. is overbaked a little.
Yeah, or you're taking it out because it's underbaked. You put it in for a couple more minutes. Sometimes it's real tricky to get it just right, especially if it's a recipe you're not familiar with. I did think lime and chocolate sounded good. Like, his flavor sounded like they would be good.
Yeah,
I like lime.
I do too. Oh yes, I really, really do. I do love my citrus. We talk. You and I yes. often about how much we love yeah. our lemon and lime flavors.
Lemon, lime, orange, I'll take it all. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And they were critical of his piping. And I'm sure it came down to just, you know, getting down to the wire, probably a little stressed about his crust being a little overbaked and such, not turning out the way that he wanted. So I'm sure just trying to rush, it was not very precise, but they loved his flavors. They said that the lime curd was delicious. The frangipane was delicious. It was just mm-hmm. overbaked.
Yeah.
So he had all the things, but, you know, just an overbaked tart, and his precision with his piping. But otherwise, you know, they couldn't argue the flavors. And I think Andy's always done really well. Sometimes he struggled a little bit on the presentation, sometimes gotten a little maybe too adventurous, or maybe ran out of time a little bit. But they've never really said, you know, that anything he has presented them tasted bad. He's always been really good on his
right.
flavors. Just that was not a good one for him. And then Eileen, she struggled too. She had some tropical flavored tarts with, was it mango and some passion fruit? She had to start over. I thought, oh no, anytime we start seeing someone, I mean, they had what, two? Was it 2 hours or a little more? But not much to make these tarts. And yeah. I think someone had commented, oh, I've made frangipane tarts before, but not in 2 hours. And it's like, oh no. So
and now you're having to redo it. So that's even more lost time.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was curious. I don't know if, and maybe it's just me, like, hey, I'm not on a competition or whatever, and I'm not worried too much if something isn't absolutely perfect having to present it. But I'm like, did she have to throw them out? Could she not have tried to fix them in their tins a little? Because Dylan said they were flopping over, like you could see them falling over inside yeah. their tins. I mean, were they, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe she had to start over.
Maybe we just knew that was, yeah, maybe we just know, like, it's not going to work. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
she seemed pretty defeated. She immediately like was said, "I'm going home," which made me sad.
I know. That was heartbreaking. I was like, "No, let's just keep going," you know. So in the end, you know, her decoration, I thought, you know, as far as the presentation, you know, was cute, but her pastry didn't really look that good. And
yeah,
then they mentioned that she should have stuck to just one flavor. You know, she had a lot going on. I think that she also had some lime. So she had like mango, lime, and passion fruit. And he's like, you know, you should have just stuck to one thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot. A lot of packed flavor into one. And then he said that her pastry was underbaked and soggy. So it sounds like she may have had the dreaded soggy bottom.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Don't want that. That's never good. Not a good look for anyone. So it was really unfortunate. She struggled through that one as well. And it was really heartbreaking to see her and Andy both just looking so defeated going through those. And she was like, this was supposed to be my week. This was supposed to be my week. So that was hard. You talked about Nellie. She's as awesome as always, showing up in her beret. Just
yes. At first, I thought that was the same beret that Dylan had on last week. Oh, but yeah. Then they told the story that it was actually her son's beret, and he asked her to wear it. So sweet.
Isn't that the sweetest?
I fucking love Nellie. She's the best. And Nellie and Noel together are really hilarious.
Those two, I'm gonna miss so much when it's
over.
We
need a spinoff.
Yeah. I think Nellie would love that. I really think she loves Noel. So I think
and she just really seems like, and has since day one, she seems very comfortable with the camera, and she's really just a joy to watch.
I agree. She needs her own cooking show. Mm-hmm. I hope she gets some. And I know some past contestants have done really well with things like that mm-hmm. in the past. And I think she would do really, really well. So, hey, somebody do something and get her on something, because she just really has the personality for it. I really love Nellie.
Yeah.
And then we have Samaya, who had a raspberry and coconut frangipane tart. I think that they looked really good. I love when they do that like toasted meringue on the top. So I think they were really beautiful. And Prue had commented that the coconut did come through, but Paul said it was overbaked. So that was unfortunate for her. So she was safe because some others had worse accidents, but she did not.
Yeah, she was kind of middle of the road this week. Yeah
So yeah, that was our signature. So now all I've wanted since I've seen this episode twice now is just somebody just please get me a tart. Any sweet kind of tart, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the technical challenge this week was a spanakopita. Can barely say that.
Spanakopita. Right. Is it not spanakopita?
Spanakopita. I think you're right. Spanakopita. You're right. See, I told you I never get these right.
It is hard
right.
to say.
Never.
Yeah.
I literally have it in front of me and I just cannot say it. I know it in my brain. It
have
does not roll off the tongue.
Have you had that before?
No, I have not.
Okay, I definitely have. Yeah.
Okay.
I've had a lot of Greek food. It's very popular in Baltimore. I think we have a pretty decent Greek population. And I've definitely had it before, and it's delicious.
I mean,
I like
intrigued.
Spinach. You have to like spinach. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm kind of at pause.
Have to like spinach.
Yeah. I like the idea of it for sure. It just seemed like a lot of spinach. I don't mind it if it's in smaller portions. Mm-hmm. I don't like a lot of green vegetable stuff. It's just a problem for me.
Yeah,
but I like the idea.
It has to have like a sauce with it and flavor. Mm. And when they were judging, they seemed to really like the flavors for all of them, really. I didn't hear them say mm-hmm. anything. I mean, they said a couple were like too wet, but they didn't, they liked the flavor. So I can only imagine that we didn't really see a lot about what they put in it. It was mostly focused on the bake, but I think it would be good. Yeah.
I would try it. I would try it for sure. Mm-hmm. It just looked like a lot of spinach, and I like feta. So I love the pastry looked amazing. The feta I like in spinach in smaller portions. So I would definitely try it with whatever. I don't even know what they were using to dip. They didn't talk about that at all, but they all had a dip with them.
Right. Yeah,
so, and then, I don't know other than like spinach and feta, what was in it, because they would say, oh, that's good seasoning. That's got a good flavor. But I'm like, there has to be more in it than just spinach and feta, you know? Mm-hmm. And I did not look it up. So I don't know what's in a traditional, bake like this, but you know, I would try it. No one argued. None of the judges were like, nope, it's not there. It doesn't taste good. It was mostly, like you said, you know, maybe not thoroughly baked or a little too soggy because maybe someone didn't wring out the spinach, you know, well enough. Or not enough time in the oven, what have you. So
the big direction that Paul gave them was not to underestimate the resting time. And I think that may have really hurt several of them because I think a lot of them, it came down to the timing.
Yeah. And you saw a couple struggle with the rolling of the dough, either trying to like, we got some holes, got to put it back together, or we're going to run it through again. So it seemed like wrestling with the dough on and off really kind of ate up the time.
And so some of them had never even eaten one, much less made one. So I can't imagine. That's really like, you know,
I can't imagine
out of their comfort zone, I'm sure.
For sure. I can't even imagine trying to make phyllo pastry. That is so thin and delicate. I mean, I don't know how my fingers would just be going right through it. It's like, I have made things
with phyllo and I buy it. I buy it.
Yeah.
You can buy it in the freezer already. Yeah, that's what I've done.
Yeah, I've bought it too. I've not made this, but I have used that dough before. And it's very, very thin, very delicate, very yummy. But yeah, I can't imagine trying to make something like that from scratch. That had to be very difficult for everyone. Very challenging. Because again, that being the technical, it was like, you know, make the dough. That's the instruction.
Let it rest.
Make the dough and let it rest. It's like, what?
Fill it with spinach.
Yeah.
Jill said as she put her spanakopita in the oven, she said, I hate you.
so
I
relatable.
Think this was a hard bake for several of them. I think many of them really struggled with the bake aspects of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I can talk about who came in what place.
Yeah,
Jill came in eighth with her hated pie. Andy came in seventh. Georgie came in sixth. Ilion fifth. Sumaya fourth, Nelly third, Christian second, and Dylan gnome number one.
Woohoo! Dylan, the fledgling baker.
Yeah. And Christian said he is always a bridesmaid and never a bride because he has come in second in the technical three times now. He's great. Like, you can really see him opening up, too. And he was pretty hilarious in this. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was. The only, I think, good thing that comes of when we lose bakers each week is then the ones that are left, you get to know a little more and more, because mm-hmm. We get more time with them, and it seems like they are starting to open up. So that's like a positive of having fewer bakers, at least, is getting to know the ones still there. And yeah, that was, I laughed out loud when Christian said that. It was very delightful. True. I like his humor.
Yeah, me too.
He's a sweetheart. Yeah, the technical goodness, that one, that was rough for some, but others came through okay.
Yep.
What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
All right. So let's talk Showstopper. The Showstopper this week, they had to make, I'd never, ever heard of this, did not know what this was. It was called I'm just going to say plain in English, not try to even have any kind of accent on this because I'll sound absolutely, dumb, but a Paris Brest.
Yes.
And it had to do with, a race. A bicycle race. So that was the idea behind this being like this circle kind of shape looking like a bicycle wheel. Because I was like, when they said this, I'm like, I don't even have any thought at all as to what this is supposed to look like. And then I'm like, okay, now I see it. And it looks so hard. Like, they're trying to make this stand and then have like a ring sitting on top of it. I don't know how in the world you do things like that. I mean, I guess if you just, I don't know, you just got to be talented, I guess. What did you think of the Showstoppers? Any that stood out?
So the Paris Brest is actually the topping that they used, right? Not the entire dessert.
I think it is just that shoe pastry with the like the fillings and the mousse. Yes.
Okay.
That is, I think, actually the Paris Brest.
Okay.
The way I understood it, I could be wrong, but that was
made of shoe pastry, which is a delicate pastry dough. That's all it says. Butter, water, flour, and eggs. And I guess the difference is instead of a raising agent like yeast, shoe pastry employs its high moisture content to create steam, puffing the pastry up.
Mm-hmm.
Very prevalent in France and Spain.
Yeah, it sounds like that is just what it is. The judges wanted it on a stand. It doesn't mean that's always the way that it's presented. It is just that circle of shoe pastry, and typically
That makes sense.
Decorated.
Yeah.
Yep. With the toasted almonds. Yep.
I thought it I guess it's just odd to our American eyes. But some of them were very beautiful. Some of them looked amazingly delicious. Let's see. I have Christiane's orange and pecan praline. Pecan praline was a very popular thing for them to make it out of, which sounded great to me. I love pecans.
I'll take those flavors.
Yeah, and I thought that maybe his might have been the most beautiful. It was very neat, and I really liked it, and they did like the flavors too. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Christian's too. Yeah, his stand was really good. I think Prue said it kind of looks like wrought iron, and I agree. And I thought it was a very beautiful look, and that appealed to me. And
yeah.
They said his flavors were fantastic, but they said his orange mousse was too thick.
Yeah, it was very put together. Yeah. How about you? Which?
Well, I think visually, Christian's was my favorite. Like just without even knowing, or you know, if I'm just looking at them and not knowing what the flavors are, I thought visually his was just, in my eyes, beautiful. I loved the colors, and I love the flowers. I love when someone's able to incorporate some flowers in this, you know, beautifully delicate type bake. So I think visually his was my favorite, but I thought the flavors sounded really good too. However, I think Jill's probably, at least from a taste standpoint, would have probably been my favorite. That her lemon and thyme, again, here we are, you know, with the lemon. She was talking about how her, one of her first things that she remembers baking with her father was a lemon meringue pie. And I'm like, yes, please. Can we have one of those? Mm-hmm. So I'll take a slice of that. And apparently it tasted very, very nice. She got like a hand clap. She got like some applause from Paul. You know, she didn't get a handshake, and she didn't get the Paul Pat, this new Paul Pat that we've been seeing, but she got some applause, and you know that
he called it to impress the best looking Perry breast that he had ever seen. So that's a big praise for her.
Yeah, they loved the flavors. They said the shoe was good. They loved the design. She checked all the boxes and gave them exactly what they wanted. So that was, and she just looked so pleased. It was just so great to see that, you know, excitement on her face. Knowing that, and I'm willing to bet she just really was really, and I hope that she was proud of herself, you know, in that moment, that she was really able to do something so beautiful and elegant like that and really, really wow them. So yeah, good for Jill.
Yeah. No, I was really happy for her. Samaya had the Tree of Life, and it was made from passion fruit and dark chocolate. And I think they really liked the way it looked, and they liked her fillings a lot. They said her fillings were really amazing.
Samaya always gets good marks for her flavors. They're always impressed with those. She really does a great job of combining things that aren't as common, or knows how to balance them really well. And, you know, if it's going to be something kind of artful, she's really going to pull out all the stops. Samaya has this beautiful artistic eye. And not only does she have this beautiful eye, but she can also execute it. I thought it was very well done. Very well done. Samaya, she's definitely one to watch for. She got a little spicy this week, though, with Noel.
Yes. yes, that was funny.
She just does not like Noel.
Yes. They were funny together.
Yeah, she got spicy. And then Andy, oh, goodness, just struggled again when he was talking about using, basically just sugar, you know, to use as a stand, and it fell apart, and he was not able to present something that was fully put together. They did like the bake on the ring. They said that was really good, but he didn't think that the flavors were strong enough, and that's a bummer, because you really, really need those flavors to come through. If you say that you're, you know, here's what the flavors are, but if you can't really, you know, if they're not coming through, that's not a good thing. So poor Andy.
I don't think there was anything that he made that was terrible.
Yeah.
Everything he made was probably good. It's just he had a bad week and ended up in the bottom of each round. So he just, you know, but I think like he seemed surprised that they liked it as much as they did. They thought it looked decent and they thought it tasted good. But I think he just, you know, we're at the point now where you can still do a great job and somebody's going home.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody has to go home each week. So and if it gets close, they really have to start critiquing every little thing. Mm-hmm. Because when everybody does such a really good job, then it's like, okay, well, whose was maybe not as perfect, you know? Then they got to start taking off the little marks and really get critiquing for the little things that maybe before were not as important. But yeah, poor Andy really struggled. That was heartbreaking. You could just see how hard that hit him when he wasn't able to get that to stand properly. And then Dylan, I thought his stand looked really amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't really think of what it, I can't say it reminded me of anything in particular, but I just thought it was, you know, stunning. I thought it was different. He had pretty good marks from them. They did say they are proved, I think specifically said the shoe was a little small.
Yeah.
I think she wanted a little bit more of a pastry there, especially like with the amount of filling that he had. He had a lot of filling there, but it overpowered his shoe. And Paul, who doesn't particularly like matcha, did like this. So that was good.
I quite enjoyed watching Dylan give Paul kind of a matcha lesson. I thought that was really funny. Yes. I was like, he was like gonna educate him on that, and that just seemed funny. I'm sure, he was like,
it was
okay, little dude.
Dylan, he's what, like 20, and right. Paul, I don't even know how Paul Hollywood is.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this how many years? And he's like, let me tell you about matcha,
right,
my friend. Just,
yeah.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, he is funny.
And I think he was like, he smirked a little bit. I think he kind of like was like, okay.
It would delight me so much if Paul Hollywood gave Dylan a job after this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
come work for me. Come like apprentice, you know, for me or something.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how he would thrive?
Oh, you know? Yeah.
That would be so amazing.
Christian made orange and pecan praline. I thought, did I already talk about that one? I'm sorry. I thought his might have been the most beautiful. Yeah.
So good. You had to mention it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ilyen did the crown of nuttiness, hazelnut, and chocolate. She had a little trouble with her stand, but it looked really yummy. The flavor sounded amazing, and it was beautiful. And I think she saved herself with it.
I think she did. She also struggled with her stand, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I have no idea how much time passes from the time that when they finish their bakes and then when they have to present them. You can tell, like, everything's a mess, right? They just, at the very last minute, gotten everything put together. And so their whole countertops are a mess. But when it comes to presenting them, everything's clean, so you can only imagine how much time it's, you know, is sitting there. And I don't know if while it was sitting there and all of this time, if she said that she had a crack underneath the whatever it was that she had made to hold her shoe ring on top had cracked, and so she was like trying to hold on to it. So she had trouble with her stand, I guess, from, she had mentioned, well, it's been like sitting for so long, it got a crack in it and it was unstable. But they still, Paul still thought it was beautiful. He said it was a well-baked shoe. And Prue said that when you got the praline, it was wonderful. So, and this was one, I think, as far as the flavors, I mentioned Jill's. If we're talking flavor, I think Aline's would have been one of my favorites. I loved her, all of her like toasted almonds on the top. That just looks so, so yummy. And I thought a nice, beautiful touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Nelly.
My girl, Nelly.
Nelly.
She also did a tree. Pistachio praline. They like praline. She was actually done early and kind of sat down and put her sunglasses on. I thought that was really funny. And yeah. They really liked her fillings and flavors, but she had some issues with her bake. As many of them did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they mentioned it was a little underbaked.
Yeah. But I think she was firmly in the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was safe. She was safe. Yeah. But they all looked delish. And I certainly wish I had an excuse to make one. Not the stand part, just the top part.
Yeah, well, let me know when you do that. Send me a picture.
You know, I mean, who knows?
It didn't look bad, yeah.
It, you know, choux pastry is not too terrible. I made choux pastry once many, many years ago. I wanted to make homemade cream puffs, and cream puffs are choux pastry. And I'd never made anything like that before, but I just went in, you know, I followed the instructions and just went in and did it, and it was easier than what I thought it was going to be. That choux pastry, now again, it was not anything like this. It was, you know, cream puffs. I literally just, you know, made those and then, you know, inserted some homemade cream in the middle.
Pretty complicated to me.
It really wasn't that hard. I thought it was going to be a lot harder, but it wasn't that bad. And then some I put a little chocolate on top, and then others I left, you know, plain. And it really wasn't that bad. I was like, well, that, I thought that was going to be a lot harder. So it's, I think I could manage a shoe ring, but knowing me, it would probably fall flat. Half my stuff anymore just kind of falls flat. I don't know.
I tell you, all of them were so fragile looking. Mm-hmm. And like towards the end, it was really, the stress was really bad because you just knew something was going to happen. You know, you were just waiting. They were building up the tension. It's always like heartbreaking when, you know, something breaks at the last minute. There's nothing you can do. You know, you can't repair it. So I feel for them.
Yeah. And I was just gutted to see things thrown in the bin. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. I hope that you have enough time to at least present something. I would hate to see something get thrown in the bin and then you don't have anything at all. Like, no matter what happens, always, always present whatever you have, for better or worse. Because I feel like that's even worse. At least if something is either overbaked or underbaked or not all the way finished, or you didn't get to, you know, whatever, how elaborate it is, put it all together. You always, you know, present it, because it feels like you get,
I know, one Top Chef, occasionally people will be like so frustrated that they're like, I'm not presenting anything, and they don't like that. They want you to put what you put on a plate.
Yeah,
like own it. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, so that was stressing me out from my couch. You know, I'm not even there. Yes. Not even in the, you know, it's not me in the middle of this, but you know, it's I'm feeling that, definitely feeling the tension, and feeling the pressure. They do a good job of editing it that way. Anyway, I don't know how, you know, I'm sure that plays a part in it too. But anything else that you want to say about the showstoppers or any of the bakes?
I think I got everything in.
Any standout or funny moments? I know we've talked about a few sprinkled throughout as we were talking about the bakes, but anything else that you want to cover?
I thought it was interesting. There were two references to the North versus the South of England. One was Jill said, I'm a northern girl. Of course I make pastry. And then another reference to northern portions, which I guess must mean bigger portions. I just thought that was funny, you know?
The North remembers.
Yeah.
The North
and
remembers.
Then, speaking of, we had Ilyan whispering Game of Thrones, talking yeah. about Game of Thrones, which I thought was hilarious. I guess she thought she wasn't allowed to say it due to copyright or whatever. And then mm-hmm. Noel said it. And I just thought that was funny. That's certainly a colliding of our genres.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, that was my only couple points I had. How about you?
I think we've already talked about them pretty much. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, the chemistry between, like, all the moments. You know, there wasn't really mm-hmm. one or two that really stood out. But, like, you were talking about Noel and Nelly and their chemistry. And, you know, I just love mm-hmm. seeing those two together. And then just the moment between Noel and Samaya. Like, Samaya definitely is yeah. just like, you know, get away from me. don't want you around me.
Is this Allison's third season or second season?
I think it's her second.
Like, I think she has brought so much to the show. I really like her.
I do, too.
I really enjoy having her there.
Yeah. I think so many of my standout moments are you know, just having Allison there. Because I do really think that she can be so calming. I think she's comforting, you know, if she sees someone like really, truly struggling, she seems to really care, you know, about if someone's really struggling and she's, you know, checking in on them. But she's also funny. And I do really like her moments with Noel, too. I think her and Noel make a good pairing. So I hope however long the show goes on, and I hope however long that Allison wants to do it, that she continues, because I find her delightful.
Yeah, I agree.
What about predictions? Are you feeling like confident in how
I feel
few?
Like they're all pretty evenly keeled. Like they've all done standout things, every single one of the ones that are left. So I really think it's anybody's ball game. I mean, of course, my heart is probably going to lie with Nelly throughout the whole thing. I really would love to see her take it all. But, like, all of them are so great that it would be pleasurable to see any of them win.
Yeah, we always had a segment when we were covering the baking show, you know, like your favorite or standout baker. And I really mm-hmm. don't know that I can say I have a favorite because they're all mm-hmm. really great. And I wouldn't be upset if any of them came out on top. You know, they're all,
yeah.
I think, really delightful and they all bring something special. But, you know, this week Andy had to go home. So that was really sad. Hated to see that because he's definitely been very boisterous. His laugh, you know, really stood out. He had a great sense of humor. He was always really funny. You know, when he was talking about, oh, I'll just sling myself out, you know, and when Allison's like, oh, we'll just call you a taxi, yeah. He's like, I'll just sling myself out. He just always had a really great sense of humor. Like when he was talking about one of my favorite moments, when he's like, oh, I guess I'll have to bribe him now, but by the looks of Paul Hollywood's cars, I guess he doesn't need it.
yeah, exactly.
So I'm really going to miss Andy and felt really, really bad that he got eliminated this week. But again, somebody has to go home. And he just had a week where things did not go his way. But Jill got Star Baker.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, she's definitely pacing herself now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, she's in it to win it, I think. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too upset. I love them all. I think they're delightful in their own ways. I think they all bring something special to the show with their, you know, their beautiful artistic eyes and the things that they bring each week. I don't want to lose any others, but I mean, I know we're going to. So that's just me totally chickening out by trying to make a prediction. I cannot make a prediction at all because it's really could be any of them. There's no one I could look at like, oh no, they're going to mess up. Like you just really don't know. It just, it's not. And if they mess up, it's not going to be because they're not talented. It's just going to be like something that day just isn't going their way. And it doesn't mean that they're not talented. So it's not like, oh gosh, none of them deserve to be here or anything like that. It's just going to have to be a rotten set of circumstances. So definitely no predictions from me at all.
I think it's so hard to tell. Anybody could win Starbaker next week. Any one of the ones that are left.
Yeah. And it's been not, I mean, we're only halfway through on episode 5, but no one yet has won it twice in a row. We've just had single Starbaker winners each week. So, and even that doesn't mean anything, you know, because you can win Starbaker and then go home the next week. So it doesn't save you. No predictions my way. We'll just have to keep watching week by week and see where we end up.
Yeah.
Any final notes?
No, but I'm looking forward to it. It's the thing that, like, when I get home from work on Friday, I can't wait. I have to watch it right then.
Yeah. It's the feel good when you've had kind of a long, stressful week.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Had a few of those.
Yeah, me too. You know, or, you know, something going on and you're just like, you know what, let me just watch Bake Off. I need something feel good because it does, it's so delightful. Puts a smile on my face. It's like visiting friends each week for me. So I love it.
Yeah.
Can't wait to the next one. And speaking of next week, next week we're actually, and I'll just say it here while I'm thinking about it. I actually hadn't planned on it, but thank goodness Wendy was here to remind me. Next week we're actually taking the week off due to scheduling, and it's me. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me because I'm gonna I'm gonna be at a concert.
Where are you going, Rima? Next,
I'm going to the Eras tour.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
you're gonna have so much fun.
I'm a huge Swiftie. I've made no secret of that on this podcast. Because I'm going to be gone like all weekend and we record on the weekends, we had thought we could record late, but we thought, you know what, just to make it easier on everyone because we all have lives and, you know, we're all doing things. We thought we'll take that week off and we will cover episode 6 and 7 together on one podcast. We'll just smush them together because who doesn't love a nice bake-off sandwich, right? Just smush them together. So I don't know what episode 7 is going to be yet because they don't release those until the end of each week's episode. But next week will be episode 6, Autumn Week. So we know that much. We'll be covering Autumn Week. I don't know what episode 7 will be yet. What?
Autumn.
Autumn. What?
Cinnamon, nutmeg, cardamom.
Apples?
That's what I would think.
I'm trying to think.
Pumpkins.
What?
Pumpkin spice lattes.
At least that's what autumn in America means, right? Pumpkin
that's
spice
right.
lattes are out.
Spirit Halloween. That's what.
Oh, goodness.
Isn't that what autumn is? Yeah.
Colored leaves. Got the reds and the yellows of the leaves falling. I don't know what. I should go back and look, see if we've had an autumn week before to kind of get an idea. I don't know. I think of soup, you know, give me a good, like, loaded baked potato soup. I'm set. That will be episode 6. So we'll cover 6 and 7 in a couple of weeks' time. And we'll look forward to getting together with all of you then. So in the meantime, if you do want to write in, you've got plenty of time. You know, you'll have a couple weeks to get some feedback in. If you want to write in and leave us a message, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. I'm currently watching The Walking Dead, The Book of Carol, and I'm really enjoying that. And I like having the podcast. It's good. In fact, I think we just had episode 4, and I watched episode 3, and I thought something was happening that was absolutely not happening, and I don't know how I got all that wrong, but the podcast helped me, so that's good.
That's what's always great about a good companion podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you'll find so many of them out there on podcastica.com. I can't even keep them all straight anymore. I have to go to the website to be able to keep track, because I feel like in our group chat, there's always someone that's like, I'm covering this and I'm covering that, and I can't keep up.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with my own, much less all the ones that folks are covering right now. So I have to go to Podcastica often to see what's new. But there's something for everyone, and the website's great because there's a great search feature that if you're like, hey, I wonder if they've covered this show, check out the search, just type it in. You'll probably find it. Someone has probably covered it somewhere on podcastica.com. And if not, then that just means either maybe we will, or, you know, ask for it too. That's something that we always love, you know, join the group page and be like, hey, would love to hear this from someone. You might spark some interest there. So definitely go there. And while you're there, go out and subscribe and leave a review. Hey, for Strange Indeed. Hey, little plug for us. We would love to have you give us a nice little review. Say some nice little things that you enjoy about our show. But give all the other podcasts some love, too. You know, that is how, you know, if you really love a show and you want other people to know about it, that's a really great way to tell other people that you love it, is giving it a good review. And show a little love and subscribe. That helps those podcasts get found when people are, you know, on the internet looking or looking in their podcast apps. That's how they get up there. That's how you see those. So thanks in advance.
Yeah.
On your marks.
Get set.